Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Week one is in the books, and the power rankings are being rolled out. No one loves power rankings more than me and Stoke. How much of a jump did the Broncos make? To discuss it further, we're joined by our friend John Clayton. John, ESPN had the Broncos jump from 26 to 20. NFL.com had the Broncos leaping from 22 all the way to 16. What did you make of what you saw on Sunday and some of the reviews that are coming out?
Yeah, I think that it's closer to 16 because, again, what you like is the fact that, one, Vic Fangio was aggressive. He kept going for fourth downs and having success on two of those that helped two touchdown drives. I mean, you like the fact that they did good things on defense, forcing turnovers with Daniel Jones. That of course, worked out. They didn't get any interceptions, which, of course, I guess is a decent surprise. You knew that was Saquon Barkley being, still coming off that knee injury, the running game was going to be there. And I thought that, they showed good balance on offense. The unfortunate thing is they lose Jerry Jeudy for 4 to 6 weeks with that high ankle sprain. And so now what you have to see is what adjustments are going to make on offense. Are they going to rely a little bit more on the running game than the passing game? But overall, it was a good victory because when you look at the first three games against, three winnable games, this was going to be the tough one, and they handled it very well.
They did. John Clayton joined us. John, looking at next week, and the rest of the year, has your thoughts changed at all on the Denver Broncos after the performance that you saw, especially offensively, from him, from Teddy mm-hmm. Bridgewater and the rest of that group offensively?
Hasn't changed because, again, I thought, the Broncos and the Chargers, in my opinion, are wild card playoff teams. And so I think that, you'll see better improvement on the defense as the season goes on. Because, again, the one thing that I think, everybody doesn't take total regard to is the fact that, most of the teams didn't play much in the preseason with their starters and all that stuff. And you're out there now for 3 hours where you hadn't been out there for at least at all. And so there's ups and downs in the game, rust and all those different things. But no, my opinion hasn't changed. In fact, where you look at that 16th rating, they'll need to bounce it up a little bit more if they're going to be a playoff team with 14 playoff teams.
John Clayton joining us live here on Stokely and Zach. What'd you make of Teddy Bridgewater on Sunday?
Efficient. I think that's the big thing. Now, the one thing is that you can see that a little bit more, he was holding on to the ball a little bit, maybe too much, because he held the ball for 3.03 seconds, which was the most in football in week one. But, of course, some of that was because he was out there trying to, go ahead and, make extra plays and, avoid some of the pressure and things of that nature. So, but I think that, you can see he was doing well on the intermediate passes. Thought that was efficient. That looked good. But the big thing is he just didn't make many mistakes. And I think that's one of the reasons he ended up getting the job, because say what you want about Drew Luck, as good as he was this preseason, he still might have that tendency to make the mistake or two like he did last year with the 15 interceptions. But I think the big thing with Teddy is how efficient he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one for me, John. Von Miller, what'd you make of him?
Good. I mean, good start. I mean, again, it's like what we still want to see is Bradley Chubb, which, of course, he didn't play in the game because of the ankle injury. But I thought that you can see he was able to start getting some pressure on the quarterback. I think you can see that he was getting some of the rust off after not playing last year. But I thought that it's a good start for Von Miller.
And you mentioned Chubb there, last one before we let you go. Yeah. Bradley Chubb, he missed all of last preseason, was being held out of practice right up to the first game. Now he did play, but here's the same situation again.
some ankle surgery. Now it's the other ankle, a setback, doesn't play in the first game. How concerned should Broncos country be here?
I think they should be concerned because, again, it's like, okay, if you can't shake injuries, availability is one of the most important things you have in the National Football League. And if you're not available, then that does hurt. And, again, you know, having missed the time and all that stuff, particularly this preseason, he needs to get out there and be able to, get the rust off and play. So I think there's got to be some concern.
All right, John, appreciate your time, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there is the one and the only John Clayton, courtesy of Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. What do you think of that power ranking of the Broncos? You know, like I said, ESPN had the Broncos jump from 26 up to 20. NFL.com has the Broncos from 22 leaping all the way up to 16. I think the Broncos are the 16th best team in football?
I think they're right around there. Yeah, I wanted to guess it, and so I was disappointed I couldn't guess.
Oh, I'm sorry, Stoke.
Yeah, you teased me into thinking that I was going to be able to guess it.
Nothing wrong with a good tease.
Yeah, but whenever I get left out dangling out there, yes, it is.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're dangling like that cat.
Yes, 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 exactly.
How crazy was that video,
was.
Man?
Great job by those fans underneath catching the cat.
Patriots.
There we go.
Catching a flag on the verge, or catching a cat on the verge of death with the American flag.
Yeah.
At a football game. What's more American than that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
They need to make that cat digital. You could pay for the digital cat. Digital cat.
That's
hanging.
Right. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Be a new NFT for you.
Oh, man. Well, I think they're right around there, Zach. 16, 17, 18. You got a dog? I need an elephant and a dog.
You remember that coach years ago? He's like, too many kitty cats. Meow. I need more dogs.
I don't
worried about my worried about my shoes. Worried about my armbands. A bunch of kitty cats. I need more dogs. It was like Coastal Carolina or one of those schools. Do you remember that rant?
No.
No?
I don't.
All right.
What do you think about it? Do you think it's a little bit too high, too low?
Based on what we saw and just the tone and temperature of the game, and like not that the Broncos won, but how they won. We always say this, you and I, like, okay, we got the result. What did it look like? Like what does your football acumen tell you? What's the feel of the game, the substance of it? And because of that temperature, I think 16, 17 for right now where we're at.
It's only week one. That's what we're going off of, right? Next week it'll change.
That's it.
They give us weekly ones, right? Right?
Wait, say the question again. Sorry, Richie in my ear.
Oh, they give us weekly power rankings,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So after week one, yeah. I mean, right around 16, I think is fair. And now we'll see what happens after week two. But first week was really good. Really good first week. It was hard to be better than what they showed week one.
There you go.
That was as good. I mean, when I go into that and look at that game and all the things that could go right and how they could win the football game, I mean, it was check boxes all over the place.
They really only gave up the one touchdown. That was just window dressing. So they ended with 13 points, but really it was the Sterling Shepard touchdown and that's it.
That's it.
So, this is the coach from Coastal Carolina, Richie on the Fly. This is from probably 7, 8, 9 years ago.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament before practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
That's good.
That's good stuff, man.
That is really good.
Good stuff. All right. Von Miller made a comment about Teddy Bridgewater on the sideline during Sunday's game that caught a lot of people's attention.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3, The Fan.
Von Miller made a comment to Teddy Bridgewater revealing exactly probably how this team feels about their new quarterback. The video was released on social media, and I believe it was the Broncos who put it out. Yeah. Von Miller talking to Teddy Bridgewater after the 27-13 win, or maybe it was in the closing moments that looked like over the Giants this weekend. And it featured some commentary about how maybe things have been since Peyton Manning retired. This is Von Miller talking to Teddy Bridgewater.
I ain't felt that in a while since 18 was here, man. Those little pep talks go a long way, man. You know what I'm saying? We ain't had in a minute. I love you, bro. Love you too.
Okay, so he said, what you did, we haven't had since 18 was here. And all your little pep talks, all that matters.
Goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
Yeah.
We need that. Von gives glowing reports about everyone. You know, a year ago, he said Drew Lock was going to be a star.
True money. Money, but, Drew.
True money. Yep. Before that.
$100 bill.
I mean.
In his locker, signed it for him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter who you talk about. Malik Reed's the dream killer.
Yes.
Trevor Siemian was Spider-Man. Like, or Peter Parker. Yeah, he has Peter Parker. He's just so unassuming that he turns into Okay. But this was not up at a podium talking to the press. This was talking to Teddy. How much stock do you put into, you know, and we've been having the conversations too. Could we see the best quarterback season since Peyton Manning 2014? You hear him say, hey, this is the best it's been since 18. Do you put, or how much credence do you put into these comments?
A lot. You know, because I think when he says it, like you said, he's not just talking to the media, but he's just being real with Teddy, and he's talking about, hey, those little pep talks, you know, those that you have and that you've done, you know, continue that because that goes a long way here. I think that tells you a lot about, you know, Teddy and his leadership style. And when you have, you know, the face of the franchise and Von Miller telling you that, you know, that just reinforces it. And for me, looking at, you know, their conversation, I think it just kind of solidifies my thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater even more so. Right? This was one of the, you know, when things started looking like it was going to be Drew Lock, you know, when Drew Lock's car passed up Teddy Bridgewater's car there after that first game and everybody was going, Drew. This is why I stayed steadfast that it was going to be Teddy. They needed a grown-up. Remember when I told you that? They needed a grown-up. They needed an adult leading that offense.
Considering how young it was.
And then you throw on top of all these other things that Teddy brings to the table. I love it. And I think it goes a long way when you have that leadership at the quarterback position. And young quarterbacks, you know, it takes time. A guy like Drew, it just takes time. But a guy like Teddy, just because he's been around, he's been through a lot, just when he steps in the locker room, all those young guys look at him like, that guy's made it.
Yeah.
You know, he has made it in this league, so you already have, you know, pelts on the wall. Is that right? Some, you know,
yeah.
Skins.
Yeah.
I mean, so
yeah.
That goes a long way.
It doesn't seem like Teddy's trying to be the leader. He's just kind of assuming it. Like, he's not demonstrative. He's got his own way, and it's just being like himself. And that I think typically is the best kind of leadership. It's not like an announcement of I'm the leader. It's just sort of taking the mantle. Just taking it, being comfortable with it, being yourself, doing all the things that, you know, Teddy does. And look, we know he's not next coming to Tom Brady, but what he is for this football team right now might be just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Look, Teddy's real. Teddy's real, right? He's not someone trying to pretend to be someone else and trying to, you know, put on an act. Teddy's just Teddy. He's real. And I think it's perfect for this football team, how he leads, how he handles himself in the media. You know, Teddy's not trying to, throw for 5,000-6,000 yards this year. He knows his standing in the league. He knows who he is, and it shows. It shows. So I think, you know, that resonates in the locker room. That resonates with young guys. It's all about the team. It's all about winning. And it's all about doing the little things. All of those things, when you have a young football team, it goes a long way. And, it's about winning football games. It's not about stats. It's not about, you know, getting the attention, all those things. And when you have that from your leader and the captain of that ship on offense, once again, when you got a young offense and a lot of young pieces, it goes a long way. And right when he walked in that building, you know, guys looked at him as, you know, this guy has done something in this league.
Yep.
And then whenever he goes out there and actually produces, it's like, okay, check, check, check. He's the leader of that offense.
Want to check in with the RamosLaw.com text line? Oh, my God. He must be Brady the way that you talk about him.
We can't say anything nice. You know, like last year was like we're too negative. And, you know, Broncos win and things are going well. And, you know, now we're too positive and we've already crowned them. And,
right.
You know, just like you say one nice thing. Here comes, Drew Locke haters, you know. It's the way it goes. Well, there's unfortunately. There's just a few of them.
No, and they're becoming less and less. But, you know, I see a RamosLaw.com text, 303-713-1043, in all caps, 275. Put your name on it. Give you a shout out. In all caps, we want Drew Locke.
Trolling. Gotta be trolling.
Here's the thing, though. Like, isn't it a certain point about the Broncos? Like, so say you were one of these people who wake up in the morning, put their hand over their heart, and pledge allegiance to the Locke, okay? Say you're one of those guys. Are you a bigger Drew Locke fan than you are a Broncos fan? Like, I heard Tyler say this, or ask the question at least. I'll bounce it off you. Was Sunday's game the best game at quarterback since Peyton retired?
Well, I've heard it. You know, you brought up a good one. The Trevor Siemian, was that the Dallas game?
Or yes.
Which one? That
he threw four touchdown passes.
That was a pretty, and then he rode with Peter King in the car the next week, yes. And then it all fell apart on Monday.
He was big there for a minute. He was like, late night
Peter
show.
Peter King asked him to go for the car ride, and they filmed it, you know, do all that stuff. Really cool. But, after starting a couple games, you probably might not want to do that yet, but whatever.
Okay, Trey.
So that was a pretty darn good game from Trevor. But that game this past Sunday, how Teddy was able to do it, how he was able to get everybody involved, and his escapability, his ability to throw on the run, his ability to just escape pressure and, you know, stiff arm, back up, you know, sling it across the field to Hamler, fourth down conversion. I mean, it had a little bit of everything.
He actually did a lot of the stuff that we say Drew does better than Teddy. Playoff script, use his legs, you know,
all across his body.
He's the, you know, gunslinger type, like,
Everybody said that Teddy couldn't do it. Said Teddy can't throw over 10 yards. That's what they were trying to tell us.
How long was the one to Hamler in the air?
The one that he dropped?
Yeah. I mean, that would have been, if you wanted your big time over the top, take the top off play, like that would have been it. That would have been the exclamation point, I suppose, on everything else that happened in that game. But yeah, I think the question is fair, you know, and Tyler actually refined the question. It was, has Drew Locke ever played a football game as good as Teddy played on Sunday?
No. That Texans game was, you know, was a really good one. I don't know the stats on that Texans game. We all remember that. What did he throw for
it was,
five?
It was, I think it was four touchdowns.
One interception. I remember that one. I remember he did throw an interception in that game.
It was a 38-24 victory on the road Sunday, December 8th. Drew was 22 of 27. That's really good. 309 yards. It was three touchdowns, one interception, one sack.
Yeah. He played, had
a
really
phenomenal
good game.
He had
a really good game that day. We'll see. Look, but it was a great start by Teddy. He's a leader that this offense and team needs. Like, that defense looks at him. I mean, you hear that from Vaughn. But that defense looks at Teddy, and they believe that they have a chance to win week in and week out. that's really, you know, to sum it up for you, Zach, just to sum that thing up, if you were just got in your car, we listen to Von talking to Teddy on the sideline, and to me it just says that they trust Teddy, they believe in Teddy, not just the offense, but that defense does, that every single week that he'll give them a chance to win.
And I think,
especially if they, you know, like they don't have to do more than just be really good. Like we
right.
don't have to do the extra stuff
right.
that we always had to feel, felt like we always had to overcome our offense here the last few years.
I think the members of the offense would agree. By the way, 9 different receivers involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. 27 points. Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. All right. The member of the Broncos who takes the biggest leap forward in year 3 may not be who you think. Details next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Eddie, Pearl Jam.
On the RamosLaw.com text line. Did
song
I miss?
Like 10? Is that the album, 10?
Stop. Don't listen to him, folks. On the RamosLaw, on the RamosLaw.com text line. Did I miss the announcement? Is Stokely Teddy's new agent?
I mean, people have, you know, that's been the knock on me, you know, all the training camp that, you know, I hate Drew and, you know, I love Teddy and, that's just not the case. Just call it like I see it.
It's pretty simple.
That's just it.
Like always. Like
that's what we do.
And guess what? When it's Teddy's time to get criticism,
yeah,
it'll come.
Yeah,
like
and we did that in training camp. I thought we were very fair to both quarterbacks.
Yep.
And they're both underwhelming in training camp. And we told you that.
Yep. It was an underwhelming 50-50 battle. Well, really 40-40-20. His Rippin and his
We had to give Rippin his.
Hashtag Rippin reps.
That's right. Those paid off, right?
Paid off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got him a practice squad spot.
Because I forgot all day yesterday, I just want to get these shout outs out because I said I would do it yesterday.
I got one for a guy at King Supers yesterday in the parking lot, pulling the cart back, had my youngest with me. We just got an icy, pulling it back. Guy rolled up with the window down. Stokely. Love you and Zach. I'm listening to D-Mac and Todd. I don't love them as much as you but, you know, I'm listening to them right now. So I didn't catch his name. See, I'm not good like that, like you are.
I put it right in my calendar because I will forget.
I didn't even I said, hey, appreciate that. Nice to meet you, but I didn't ask him his name, unfortunately.
But
shout out to him.
But he knows because he's listening right now.
That's right.
My guy Ian at Tom's Watch Bar this weekend. Tom's Watch Bar, McGregor Square, blew my mind.
Saturday. So that's at the right by Coors?
Yeah, like right across the street. Stoke.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. That area is beautiful.
It's a great area.
All the criticism for Dick Monfort, they knocked that thing out of the park. I promise you. If you have an experience down there, it really blew my mind. And Ian is a big fan of this show, listens every single day. So what's up, Ian? Ray and Walter at Superbook, Jim at Superbook, brothers Rob and Steve at Superbook, Dave Cohen and his son Jake at Superbook, all big-time listeners of this show. And I want to give him a shout-out. And guess who I met last night at Blake Street Tavern?
Who did you meet?
Brian, yes, that Brian, on the RamosLaw.com text line, who texts in every single day, who's like Rain Man. He tells me what date I started at this station. He's like Sandy Clough, can recall stuff like left and right. And talked to him for probably about 45 minutes last night at Blake Street Tavern. Big fan of this show.
Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
All right.
Love it.
The member of the Broncos who takes the biggest leap forward in year 3. We talked about Noah Fant, maybe a coming of age season. Maybe Dalton Reisner could be that guy. What if it's Vic Fangio?
Oh.
I'm just asking the question. What if it's Vic Fangio, who was such a good defensive coordinator and so highly respected, really fumbled his experience in the first 2 years as a head coach? Could it be Vic Fangio? And really, one of the reasons I'm asking this question is a Kliss tweet. He said, with an early game Sunday, the Broncos are flying out on Friday to Jacksonville, a day earlier than usual per source. Fangio is adapting in more ways than just fourth down. Makes sense to him. So Vic is doing things differently in year 3.
Yeah. I love that. right? Look, if you haven't had success and you're going to continue to operate the same, that's insanity. Something like it.
Yeah.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just not smart is what it is. And so, look, obviously game one, what Vic was operating a lot differently. Going for it on fourth down, left and right. I really love this, Zach. I really do love that they're heading out on Friday. I've had that experience before. John Fox, 2012, here. Every now and then with some teams, we would sprinkle it in a little bit, depending on where we were going. Like, okay, you know, we're going, you know, we got a longer trip here. We're going to leave on Friday. I never had the experience of doing it, you know, all season long, but in 2012, I think we did it 7 out of 8 games on the road.
Left Friday. What's the advantage?
You get there, you get comfortable, you know, like in your environment, you're not rushed, and, you know, you get to wake up, you get a good night's rest, you get to wake up, and then you have, you know, you're already there. You're not traveling the day before. You're already there, and now you can just kind of get your bearings, and I just felt so much fresher having that extra day to just kind of, sometimes you don't get there until, you know, I mean, I've gotten to places 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Mm.
And then you got to turn around and play an early game the next day. It's just like you're just kind of rushing around. And I like to, you know, I get high anxiety with stuff like that. I like to just kind of be able to take a deep breath and relax a little bit. And so I always like going out Friday. I think this is a great move. Get there. Get your bearings, get situated, especially if you got an early game on the East Coast. I mean, it's an important game. You don't want to all of a sudden, you know, overlook this team and you get in late and your guys just aren't quite ready to go that first quarter. You give the other team life. So I really do like this approach because this is one of those games where it's a long flight, East Coast time, early start time, all those things. Do something a little bit differently here, right? Let's try this out. So I like that.
Yeah, you're seeing a departure in a couple different regards from Fangio in year number three. I've been down on Vic, okay, for obvious reasons. Been a bad football team, and for a guy who, you know, branded himself on death by inches, the inches have stacked up here over the last 2 years. But I am trying to be with Vic like you are with Pat. Clean slate, new school year. You bring your homework in on the first day, and the second day, I'm going to acknowledge that, regardless of the past. So I'm trying with Vic, because Vic has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. Everyone that knows Vic knows that he's a great defensive mind. Really slow on the head coaching stuff.
Right.
Maybe he is getting up to speed, and I just asked a question. I'm not saying, but I'm asking the question. Maybe Vic is the right guy, but it took a whole hell of a lot longer than we thought.
Yeah, everybody has to adapt and grow and learn on the job. I mean, usually you don't just start your first job and knock it out of the park, right? I mean, there's a lot going on there. And certainly Vic has had his growing pains and his challenges with certain things. But if you learn, if you grow, if you look at yourself in the mirror at what you don't do well and, you know, try to get better at those things, that's how you really improve. And maybe that's Vic this year. Maybe that is Vic. Maybe he has listened more. I don't know, whatever the case may be. But certainly game one's a big check. Now, we'll see. He's got a lot of time to screw this up, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Oh, yeah.
But I like the approach. I like what we saw Sunday. And I'm not expecting him to go for every stinking fourth down this year and, you know, be Mr., you know, Riverboat Vic. I'm not expecting that at all. But at the same time, you can tell there's a different approach. He has actually, you know, he has gone into the season, you know, looking at certain things and trying to change things.
All right, someone said, and guys put your, oh no, he did put his name on it. Greg, the Aspen mailman. What's up, Greg?
All right.
He said, hey guys, great show. The Denver Post is announcing the new Chad and Nate show in today's sports page. It says your show is moving up to 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Is that right? I don't want to miss anything. Cheers, fellas. Appreciate you, Greg. I didn't realize we had our names in the Denver Post. You know, I got to go clip that thing out.
Right. You got to put it in your wallet next to that for debt.
That's right.
Buy a shutdown for that.
Hey. No joke. I'm at Superbook this weekend, and someone never met him. He yells from the back. He goes, "Fredette wants a rematch."
That is too good.
That's
too good.
That's a listener of our show.
That is too good right there.
But it is true, Greg, the Aspen mailman. Starting next week, our show moves up an hour. Our new time will be 11 a.m.
to 2 p.m. And the drive is going to move up an hour. It'll now be from 2 to 6 p.m. So a nice progressive move here at the station that'll allow you to get on the golf course earlier.
I'm excited about it.
I know you are.
I'm excited. I'm not excited about that hour earlier because I get in a routine.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, everybody does, right? So now that routine gets thrown off a lot.
Yeah.
You know, normally you just leave at 11. I get it, you know, but now it's going to be changed. But I'm looking forward to it. You?
I am too, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to reach Richie in the morning anymore. You know, he takes those drive calls first.
Right.
Tried to reach him this morning.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be more compressed time.
Yep.
I'm like, Richie, our show's first. You know, we're on the phone with the afternoon guys first.
And he's got those two-hour workouts in the morning that he goes
through,
right?
Those quad workouts.
Those squats.
The folks at the NFL Network, Stoke, were stirring the pot this morning, saying the Broncos don't need to wait until the offseason to do a deal for Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
do it now for this. Details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Folks at the NFL Network, Peter Schrager in particular, were stirring the pot this morning. Broncos don't need to wait until the offseason to do a deal for Aaron Rodgers. Now is the time. Huh. He put out a hypothetical trade. Just want to bounce it off of you, Mr. Stokely.
Okay.
Here's the trade. One week in, they put a graphic out on Twitter. 1 week in, would you trade for Aaron Rodgers and give up?
Okay.
Teddy Covers. Bradley Chubb. KJ Hamler. First round pick in 22.
Oof.
First round pick in 23.
Ooh.
Oh, and a first round pick in 24.
Whoa.
This is more or less, by the way, this is more or less the type of packages that were being discussed before the season started.
Yeah. It was a different story then, Zach. Times have changed, brother. In my mind, they have changed. And now you got to think about this. You know, it's easy just to kind of go into it like, we get Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, let's do it. But it's a lot more than that. Now you're dropping a bomb at that building, right? And you're taking away three guys out of that locker room. You know, three guys you're taking out of that locker room that, you know, that resonates in there. Okay. And then, you know, what is Aaron Rodgers going to give you this year? It's going to take him a while to get up to speed. Learn the playbook, learn all those things. So this year, to me, would be a wash. Like, it's not, oh, this team is definitely a playoff team and a possible Super Bowl contender. You know, that was this offseason. Oh, we needed him this offseason, okay?
So same guy, just a little bit tardy.
Well, because you don't know the playbook, all of those things matter here. I mean, a quarterback has to know a few things, right?
Sure.
I mean, when it comes to plays and it takes time, I don't care who you are. We saw Tom Brady last year. We saw Peyton Manning, you know, early in his tenure here with the Broncos. It takes a little time. And that was with a whole offseason and training camp.
Right.
Relax.
So, you know, for me.
So you're saying like, hey, if it was draft night, like Mark Schlereth told us.
Remember that? Good old days. Yeah, I mean, then you do it. And we were all in. I was in. What do you want? You want Chubb? You want Hamler? You want who else? You want three first-rounders? Done. Let's get this thing done, right?
Right. Feels like yesterday.
It does. I still remember you, like, running around and
showing you the hair on my arm. Hair standing up.
Get that bet in. Get that bet in. Before they take it off the board, we got inside intel. Day 24?
Day 24, the Mark Schlereth smear campaign.
Yeah.
But this is something, so hold on.
So my thoughts have changed.
Okay, so is there still enough value in Aaron Rodgers for the next 4 years here that you would look past the nearsighted, hey, we're week one into the season?
Right. Man, I don't know. I'm having second thoughts.
Uh-oh.
I'm having second thoughts.
That's all it took?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, one game. And I'm not saying he's done, but...
Sounds like it.
Zach, when you get older, things go south quickly.
Yeah?
Yeah, just like you wake up and things have just changed. Like, you know, it's like, wait, what happened? You know what I'm saying? It's
things
like,
that used to go north go south.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'm just saying that yeah, pretty much. I mean, a lot of things just don't work like they used to. Okay? With everything.
That's right.
I mean, why do you have to do this? Why? Why? Can we just not?
But here's the thing. If we come in here on Tuesday on Monday Night Football against the Lions, he throws five touchdowns.
Well, I hope he better. Like, I mean, that's the floor for me is five. And I got over the 36 and a half or whatever, and he started off with zero. So I need a catch up here. I need a makeup.
Mm.
But it happens quickly, Zach, when you get to that age. And is his time hitting now? Will it be 2 years? Will he be able to play 5 years? That the unknown there scares me here. You follow me?
For sure.
And you're giving up so much that, you know, coming off the season we just saw, if I got 3 or 4, you know, solid years from Aaron Rodgers, I'm thrilled. But now it's another year in where this year's gone. How much does he want to play? Like, what is he, like, you know, I don't know that from him. Does he want to play till he's 45? Does he want to play till he's 43? I don't know. So that's a huge commitment when you bring up a trade like that. And man, I'm having second thoughts right now about it. Well, I mean, what do you think?
You know, I don't want to overreact to week one from Bridgewater or from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the body of work from Aaron Rodgers supersedes any singular 60-minute football game. But the question I have about Rodgers isn't actually about, like...
But he's not 24 anymore. That's my point, right? He's not 27. That's why I'm like, that's one game, and I'm with you, but at the same time...
You're talking about the reigning MVP here.
Zach, what have you done for me lately, Lee? You know what the NFL stands for. I told you that. I don't care what you did last year now. Last year doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't mean one thing to me right now. It really doesn't. And so that's why I'm saying, like, I want to keep my eye on it. I'm not telling you he is done. But at the same time, I'm not going to be naive and say, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has got 3 great years of football left. I'm not going to do that.
So are you
because of his age?
Are you asking the question? I know you're not saying definitively that Aaron Rodgers is done, but are you asking the question? Is he done?
I'm not asking it. No, I just you know, because I don't think he's done, or I wouldn't have taken the over on that bet.
Mm.
Okay,
mm.
So I don't think he's done. I think he's still got good football left in him, but I've been wrong once or twice.
Yeah,
and I might be wrong on this one.
Yeah,
and if you're the Denver Broncos and you're wrong. And you gave up 3 first-round picks, Bradley Chubb, KJ Hamler, or who, you know, and Teddy Bridgewater. And I'm not thinking that Teddy Bridgewater is a future quarterback here. And so I'm not going down that road either.
And that's the thing, because our friend in Vegas here, Bobby in Vegas, appreciate you listening.
Bobby.
From Vegas here, yeah. Bobby. He said, how many years in Super Bowls is Teddy going to play for us? And I think that's a good question. There's a chance, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about this because Peter Schrager, the NFL Network, put it out there this morning. Don't wait until next season. Make this trade right now. And it's a good question because Teddy Bridgewater's never going to play in a Super Bowl for the Broncos. I'm sorry. I can't close my eyes. It doesn't pass the confetti test. Rodgers, I can. And I want to keep in mind, although being 1-0 feels good here in September, ultimately the goal is to try to reach a mountaintop. And if there's an avenue to try to get there, I think you should explore every possibility of taking that exit.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I think right now I'm more hesitant to do it with Aaron Rodgers than I was 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Things have changed. And I think that the best bet for the Broncos now would be wait and see.
Wait and see how Aaron Rodgers performs.
Wait and see how everything goes. Bradley Chubb,
sure.
AJ Hamler, right? I mean, what if Bradley Chubb comes off and next thing you know, he has 15, 16 sacks? Hamler goes out there.
This season, you're talking about Bradley Chubb having 15, 16 sacks?
11, 12.
Okay. Right,
how about that?
All right.
But I'm just saying, what if he's an absolute monster? And then what if Hamler is, you know, the speed demon and he just doesn't drop balls anymore? He makes catches like he did, you know, over his head. And Teddy Bridgewater, you know, is a really good quarterback for the Broncos. Not special, but leads them, you know, you're looking at a, 11-6 team or something. What about that? Now all of a sudden you're going to give away all these things plus first round picks for Aaron Rodgers, and we don't know what he's going to look like. So
yeah.
Let's take a look at him. Mm. What if he just has an average year? Well, then guess what happens? The price falls. You gave up too much for him. Now the price falls. I don't think this is a real conversation. I think this is, you know, ridiculous conversation when it comes to, I don't think there's any chance that they trade Aaron Rodgers right now. Everything that they've been through, that they trade him. But if they get out of contention, I don't know. You never know.
You know, I gotta read this one because I have heard this asked, you know, on social media or, you know, here on the text line. My wife asked me last night this question that just got text in. Guys, do you think Aaron is doing this on purpose? And the answer is, of course, 1,000% no. Like, absolutely not. If you think Aaron Rodgers, after what he did this offseason, wanted to begin the 2021 season by throwing 133 yards, less than 5 yards per completion, not throw a touchdown, and have 2 interceptions, you don't plan on that, just like I
KKFN,
plan every day.
KKFN,
oh my
KKFN
God.
HD1 Longmont, Denver.
See, there you go.
That. Yeah, that's what you get. No. That's what you get. You interrupted me last
no,
week.
You literally.
And that's payback. That's dude, payback for last week.
You're talking about
that's payback for last
moving
week.
The goalpost?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Right? You did it to me. Did you not do it to me last week?
It's
I had it.
I
and
did
you just
it because
in.
You did it. Like the way that you have just
oh my
twisted
goodness.
This thing around is
well,
absurd.
You know, it's a wild, wild west right now.
How about this?
Wait, no, you're right. Look, I mean, come on. Aaron Rodgers is all in.
Aaron Rodgers,
think he cares about his legacy?
Yeah.
So you want to go out there and have an awful year with the spotlight on you? How ridiculous do you look? You throw a tantrum.
Right.
And you pout, and then you go out there and you lay an egg? Yeah, you look absolutely ridiculous. That's not how you want to finish a tenure with Green Bay.
Of course not.
So he's all in, man. He's all in. And I'm expecting to bounce back. Aren't you? I mean, come on. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Every prop that is on the board on Monday night, I am taking the over. I am not telling anybody else what to do. I'm telling you what I'm going to do.
I like that.
I think Aaron Rodgers is going to use the Detroit Lions as an example of how to not overcorrect the narrative.
Do we remember? Do we not remember?
Oh, my gosh.
The relax. R-E-L. Remember those times like
yes.
People were panicking about the Packers?
Yes.
And the, you know, what do you mean? He's like, relax. Just say, he was on a radio show, so relax.
Yeah.
And he was like,
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
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 Right? I mean, come on.
Relax.
So he's been through these times before, and it was the first game. You got punched in the mouth. Okay. You got 16 more, but I'm with you. I like that. I like that perspective of, you know, whatever they have on the board, he's going to come out PO'd.
Yep.
Over city.
Here's maybe the biggest question that is looming in Broncos country. And someone asked it on the RamosLaw.com text line. I'm trying to find it so I could give him a shout out. But he said the real question is, what happens with the station ID when you guys go from 11 to 2?
Well, I'll say this. I really don't care because I'm going to be out of here at 1:53. So at 2 o'clock, I don't care. No, but we have to do it every hour. So sometimes, you know, usually what happens, Zach, we have a commercial.
Right.
Right?
It's
we have a commercial.
Voice guy
so it just plays it. We just play it with one of the commercials. but we only do it at this time because we have a sweep from, you know, 145 to 210. So this is the only time that we can have it, and it probably will be at 1 o'clock. That will be at 1 o'clock now.
I think that station-wide, we should replace the big voice guy with KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to play that from now on.
Just be the voice of the ID.
I mean, we can call a truce and just play that for a little bit and see, you know, what the people want and what the people think.
Not a bad idea.
And, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you don't have rules and regulations, it kind of get out of hand and get sloppy. And, you know, like the mug game with D-Mac, and he ruined it. I don't want to ruin the game, and I don't want you to ruin it. But, you know, it's kind of right now a free-for-all. There was rules and regulations that have been broken a lot. So I don't know. I don't know how we operate moving forward when we change the time of our show from 11 to 2. But I'm expecting to be at the 1 o'clock hour now. That's when it will be.
We shall see. Richie said the clock is not changing. So how is that going to work when we're done with our show? We just, like, pass it off?
Yeah, they're just going to come crash your party in the middle.
There's no way.
We used to do that. Pretty much close. I mean, we had no time in between shows, and it was a free-for-all. Like, trying to get in the chairs and getting things situated. I mean, it was... I mean, we can have this conversation off air, you know. Let's get back to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Is this like NXS or something? Who is this, Richie?
Maybe Cars?
George Michael?
Sounds like Cars. Here's my question.
Who is this? I got to know now.
Richie will tell us here in a second.
He's multitasking.
He's worried about the drive.
Yeah.
Is that Frankie Goes to Hollywood? Yeah.
So, Zach, I mean, my question is, so if it was a real proposition, Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos, Bradley Chubb, Hamler, Teddy Bridgewater, 3 first-round picks, are you all in for it right now? Are you like me and I'm like, now's not a good time. You know, Brian Gutekunst, it's not a good time. Well, call me after the season. We'll talk. That's where I am.
You know what? That's not crazy. But if there was a, like, this offseason, maybe there'll be more people involved. If there was an opportunity to get this deal done right now, of course I would do it. Because you can win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. You're never going to win a Super Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater. Right now feels good. I'm not going to lie. Bridgewater played great. The Broncos are 1-0. But Rodgers' body of work, and then contrasted with Teddy Bridgewater's body of work, like, what's the goal here? If the goal is to be 9-8, then just stick with Teddy. If the goal is to win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years, trade for Aaron Rodgers. And I am not going to let one bad game, week one, deter me from that. And I know that's, like, think about this statement that could age so poorly because of the response of one football game. You chose to stay in bed with Teddy Bridgewater and not get Aaron Rodgers.
So you're thinking Super Bowl this year? You think if they made the move, they could be a Super Bowl contender this year?
I don't know that. But I think the next year,
gotcha.
The year after that.
I'm not letting what Teddy did, and I'm not letting what Aaron did, you know, totally sway my decision. But at the same time, I'm not putting the blinders on here. And that's like, if you whiffed on that Aaron Rodgers trade and all of a sudden he just ain't the same quarterback, I mean, you're screwed. You're screwed. You gave up everything. You gave up your future. But I feel you, and I know, because that's the way, you know, we both were, in the offseason. Like, yes, you do it. What is it? 3 first? Yeah. Okay, perfect. And you want that guy? Perfect. Let's do it.
He'll be here for all 3 years of those picks, and they're going to be late picks.
And I don't know where his heart is. See, that's the thing that I just don't know, and that's what I have to hang, you know, like, is this guy all in for 4 or 5 years? Like, is he all in? Is he committed to football? Or, you know, is he about to get married and just go, you know, to Boulder and hang out.
So a couple minutes ago, I started a sentence, the one question I have about Rodgers, and you hit it. And I heard Nate Jackson and Chad talking about it earlier today. Is football his singular focus still in life? And I just don't know the answer to that. He's hosting Jeopardy, got married.
Did he get married?
I believe he did. Huh. I believe he did during the pandemic. I think he did. That's his fiance at the area.
Yeah, I didn't know he ended up tying the knot officially.
But, you know, and my wife said that his fiance, like, posted a picture of two little baby feet. And she's like, did Aaron Rodgers have a kid?
Ooh.
And I'm like, I don't think so. But if anyone would, like, maybe keep that, like, really private, like, maybe they would profile as a couple that would do that.
He was just like, you know, this off season in Hawaii, and no, they documented every second of that trip.
That's
so
true. That's true.
I don't know how they they want to be, but certain things are different than others. So I'm with you.
No, but just, you know, that aside, just the broader thing, like, is football still driving his life? Is he still maniacal about being a legend about this game, or is he okay with dividing his focus? He didn't hang with his Rodgers up until this offseason was always OTA guy. He was always meeting with the receivers in the offseason. Didn't do any of that this year. And I think the game of football may have humbled him this past week. And I remember the story from Peyton, and Mark told it this past week, saying that, like, Peyton in the preseason games was like, I would never disrespect this game enough to think that I didn't need the reps. And I think that Rodgers may have crossed over that line and got humbled in a big way this past week.
Which is a good thing. Like, you know, if you're an Aaron Rodgers fan of Packers, I mean, like, that's what you need sometimes. Like, oh, okay, let me get refocused here. But that's a question that I would have to know if I'm the Denver Broncos before I move forward with Aaron Rodgers, especially right now. I would have to know that answer. Like, are you committed? You know, how much do you still love football? Love? You know, are you committed to it for the next 3-4 years? But right now, in my mind, things have changed, and I pushed the pause button on it, not because of Teddy Bridgewater, but because of, you know, a little bit of what I saw from Aaron Rodgers, and I just want to make sure that he's not trending in the wrong direction, that he doesn't go from, you know, being a top three quarterback to being a, you know, number eight quarterback, right, number nine quarterback.
Right.
So I just, and also, you know, there's going to be other options out there available to us. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we see veteran quarterbacks become available. Also the draft. I mean, all of a sudden you start putting all that other stuff on the back burner. You know, you're not going to draft a young quarterback in the first round. So you better be right.
Better be right. But it's not a bad thing to gamble on. And again, the reason we're talking about this, if you're just joining us, Peter Schrager on the NFL Network this morning put out the idea that, hey, this is the time to do the trade for Aaron Rodgers if you're Denver. And it was trade for Rodgers and give up Bridgewater, Chubb, Hamler, and your next three first-round picks. That is a heavy price.
But if you get your quarterback right,
doesn't matter,
and he's more of what we saw last year than what we saw last week, then you do it.
Right.
Then you do it.
Right.
But, you know, things are finally getting to go back in the right direction here, and I'm not saying the Broncos are going to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. I got it. But, man, you know, I just need more info right now before I make that type of move right in this situation.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens on Monday night. We'll see what happens on Monday night against the Detroit Lions.
I mean, they just lost their top five pick from a couple years ago, Okuda.
Yeah, Jeff Okuda.
Tours Achilles.
Ohio State, right? Corner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're obviously struggling there. And, you know, it's time to eat.
It's time to eat.
If you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. All right. Still have a ton to get to today. Did you see the floor? Really quick. Did you see the Florida State football player proposing to his girlfriend on the field while Jacksonville State celebrates on their field?
Watson 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, buddy? Just hey, push pause on that thing. Just push pause. It's not time.
Like one of the worst losses in program history. Jacksonville State wins at the buzzer. Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh.
They won with no time left.
Walk off. Broke like three tackles on a go route. I just like, wait, what just happened?
Florida State, man. They're 0-2, and you lose to Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
And then that dude went out there and proposed to his girlfriend after that loss as Jacksonville State's on your field in the background.
Come on, man. You got to have more awareness.
Those engagement photos are not going to age well.
T.O. on that, right? Push pause? Wait to after a win, possibly?
I'd rather you do it on the jumbotron of a baseball game.
Yeah, or just
do it on the field after you got beat by Jacksonville State.
I mean, do it in your apartment, you know? I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's just a bad look. It's a bad look. Just wait after a win. They're going to win one game at home, hopefully.
Probably. Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. All right, we have breaking news from one of our stars here in Denver that just signed a new contract worth nearly $100 million. Fill you in coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.